This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasodhi. It's our Health and Living segment today. And, you know, the Director General of from the Ministry of Health came up with a statement recently saying that, you know, there was some concern over a drug that's being abused for illegal abortion. It is being sold online, and the Pharmaceutical Services Program of the Ministry of Health is reporting recently that this is of huge concern. Why is it dangerous? What is the ministry doing to address this? Joining us today, Dr. Sakina Solong. She's the consultant family medicine physician from Johor Bahru District Health Office, Ministry of Health, and Muhammad Shafiq Muhammad Zain, Principal Assistant Director of the Pharmacy Enforcement Division, Pharmaceutical Services Program, Ministry of Health. So we're going to have this discussion about a drug called the misoprostol drug, which can be bought online. So we're going to be discussing a couple of things. One is abortions itself and why is this happening. Two, what are the dangers of buying drugs like these online? And in terms of enforcement, what is Malaysia doing to ensure that, you know, we don't abuse this? So welcome to the show. How are both of you today?
I'm good.
Okay. It's going to be an interesting discussion. If you have a question for us, give us a call. The number is 03-7733-2900. You can WhatsApp us on 018-789-8899 or just tweet us at BFM Radio. Let's talk very quickly about the misoprostol drug. What is it used for, Dr. Sakina? Can you just give us a little bit of a background as to what it is?
Actually, misoprostol in Malaysia under the control drug regulatory board, it is registered as a drug which is used to treat or prevent gastrointestinal ulcer. It's not meant for abortion, actually. So in our law, in our country, it is a drug used by the doctor to treat the duodenal and stomach ulcer.
Okay.
It is a prostaglandin, synthetic prostaglandin, a drug which is I may sound Greek today.
That's okay.
It's a prostaglandin which is actually used or act by promoting contraction of the uterine muscle, your womb muscle, so that it will expel whatever inside the uterus. And it also primes the cervix, which is the neck of the a woman's womb, so that it will make the woman goes into labor.
Okay, so it induces contractions.
Yes.
And then you will abort the child. But, you know, in if you look internationally, it's also a very controversial kind of a drug. But some countries have actually said it's fine to be used, but under proper supervision. And it's taken together with another drug called mifepristone, which apparently is not available here in Malaysia. Could you shed more light on what's happening in the country at the moment, Shafiq? Why has this come under spotlight suddenly, and has it been in circulation all this time, but, you know, it's only now that we've decided to come out and create some kind of awareness?
Okay, in Malaysia, actually, in usual circumstances, abortion is illegal in Malaysia, right? So the sales of this misoprostol pills, which are commonly known as Cetotec for its brand name,
in Malaysia.
For the purpose of abortion induction, is also illegal. Okay, so actually this thing come into spotlight because of the recent comment by our DG. Okay, so actually a few years back, I think in November 2016, as a first step in combating this issue, the only Cetotec or misoprostol product registration holder, this company, has voluntarily withdrawn the registration of the product from DCA. I think in November 2016. Okay.
And this is the Drug Control Authority in Malaysia.
Yes.
It is an FDA-approved drug, but it doesn't mean that if it's FDA-approved, it is okay for circulation in Malaysia, because you still need the Drug Control Authority's approval for circulation in Malaysia.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, making it a non-registered product in Malaysia.
Okay.
So, hence, it is not allowed to be in Malaysian market. Okay. So that's why now the modus operandi has been diverted to the sale, to the online sale by the irresponsible parties. Okay? And as Dr. Sakina said, as no product nowadays in Malaysia contains misoprostol currently registered with the DCA, so any sale involving cytotec pills or misoprostol pills, either conventionally or online sales, is an offence. And MOH may take action under the Sales of Drug Act 1952.
How bad is the problem at the moment? Do we know roughly how much is in circulation? How much have we confiscated?
From 2017 to September 2018, actually, 11 types of product containing misoprostol has been confiscated by the Ministry of Health, okay, involving the seized value of around 50,000 ringgit Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Okay, and besides the conducted raids, there are other actions taken by us, the Pharmacy Enforcement Division, from within this period on the sale of cytotec pills. These actions include 10 investigation papers have been opened involving the sale of misoprostol. 13 successful prosecution cases has been achieved. 155 websites and social media in regards to this matter has been monitored and profiled. And 19 websites has been sent to MCMC for sanction and closure.
Okay, so all of this is online?
Yes.
So the people who have been prosecuted are all online,
online
websites?
Online seller,
okay.
Yes.
And is that a deterrent? I mean, I can always open up another website and start selling it under a different website. Isn't that true?
Actually, it is not a problem for the for public to open or to create an account, because this is actually the safest way for them, because they can hide their identity, yep. They can fake their phone number, isn't it?
Which makes me wonder sometimes, maybe we should just register it and have control over it. Yeah. That will prevent the online sale of it, right? Mm-hmm. But you were saying it was... So we've taken it out for... You can't use it for treatment of stomach ulcers and gastric either, Dr. Sakina. Is that what? Because it's no longer in circulation
yes,
in Malaysia.
Yes. Actually, we have another kind of treatment for stomach ulcer or the duodenal ulcer, which is H2 antagonist, the ranitidine, the PPI, a lot of other medication to treat the duodenal and stomach ulcer. But in this case, I think why we don't regulate the misoprostol in our country to bring it in and use it is because I think there is a technical meeting formed by the KKM. They look into it, the pro and cons, because this is quite, like you said, it's quite controversial. USA introduced the regime for this abortion back into 2000. So it's quite recent. And since then, it has been like, people has been looking at it, the pro and cons, and KKM also had studied. And from that, we have seen that we are quite concerned with the safety issue, because this medication need to be taken under supervision.
Okay. Do you not think that this is a symptom of a larger problem?
Yes, yes. Actually, I was thinking the same way.
The larger problem? The larger problem is abortion is illegal in the country, right? It's not completely illegal. It is allowed under certain circumstances. If it's a risk of to the life of the pregnant mother, is an option for abortion. If it is a risk to injury to the mental or physical health of the pregnant woman, it is allowed. Yeah. It is, if it is undertaken by a registered medical practitioner, yes, you can.
Yes.
Now, we know there are a lot of things that don't fall under this. Mm-hmm. So, hence the need to look online for these sort of pills. What's your take on abortion in Malaysia, and how can we better improve on, perhaps legalizing it for certain conditions or just legalizing it?
I mean, when you were saying that, looking at the bigger picture, I was thinking about the unmet need of contraceptive, because a lot of people nowadays, they don't have the correct knowledge about the contraception at all.
That's an interesting point, okay.
Yeah, so they embark into a pregnancy without knowing that they can get pregnant. Yeah. It sounds like a joke, but then it's true. I've seen a lot of young people, young ladies who come at age of 15, 16, and they were pregnant. And some of them are desperate. Mm-hmm. And when we ask them, do you know that you can get pregnant when you have even one sexual relationship with a man? They seem like clueless. So our sexual education is also, I think we need to do something about it. We need to open our younger generation the need to respect their body. Yeah, I mean, when you are ready for sexual relationship, be responsible and then try not to get pregnant. Because I think when you are pregnant at such young age, you tend to become desperate. Because when they are young, their thinking is not yet mature enough. So they will seek for another way out. And the easier way, instead of telling their parents or their teachers, they are looking for a way out. So they will ask the friends, and the friend can just show them, this is the pill that can help you.
Yep.
I think
statistics from 2 years ago, I think we have 50 teenage pregnancies a day. That's a statistic. 50 is a lot. And then you have the other issues of abandoned babies and things going forward. Okay, that's interesting. So let's come back to this. If it's properly regulated, do you think that this is something that could possibly be an option for people?
Yes, of course. Misoprostol now has been banned in Malaysia, as I said before. Yeah. So any cell of pills containing misoprostol is against the Regulation 7.1A of Control of Drugs and Cosmetic Regulation, which, upon conviction, an offender is liable to a punishment with a maximum fee of not exceeding 25,000 ringgit.
Okay, so underlying fact, it's illegal.
It's illegal.
There's no other option. Okay. And if it is abortions, let's go back to abortions. If it is done by a health practitioner, who can actually perform the abortion, Dr. Sakina?
Actually, under the law, it was not clearly mentioned who is actually can perform. Any medical practitioner who is registered under Medical Act can perform the procedure. But we have to bear in mind the person should be trained to do it. And in our setting, usually the obstetrician would be the best person. I know in certain countries, like USA, that there are GPs or general practitioner who is actually prescribing those medication, and also perform the abortion, either surgically or medically. But in Malaysia, unfortunately, we don't really see a lot of cases being put for what we call abortion, either medically or surgically, based on the reason for the health benefit of the mother.
Okay, and this is used. This is used for those who are 9 weeks and below.
Yes, you are right. Yeah.
Okay, and there is this argument that it will allow the woman to be in control of her treatment, and she can be as comfortable as possible. Does that help at all for the availability of this drug?
I think it gives the woman some kind of privacy also, because the medication can be taken at home, things like that. But you have to bear in mind, when we are talking about the medical treatment, we are looking at the side effect as well and the implication.
What are the health risks?
Okay, the health risks, okay. A woman should be assessed by the medical personnel to see whether there is any contraindication for her to take the misoprostol, number one. Yeah. Number two, the side effect of the misoprostol, one of it, the most severe one, is postpartum hemorrhage, when the patient can end up bleeding torrentially. And some may even end up having her uterus removed. And you have to remember, there is certain cases in which that the even the woman used misoprostol to abort the baby, but it was unsuccessful attempt. So the pregnancy continues. Mm-hmm. And in some of the babies that were delivered, they had some congenital defects, some new
abnormalities.
Yeah, abnormalities, Möbius syndrome. Tapi what I can remember the cranial nerve impairment. So it's not without risk. And looking at this, when we see a lot of side effect from this medication, that's why I think our government not really keen to bring it in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll come back and find out from Shafiq as to why are people getting, you know, they're getting it online. How do they actually do it? And if you do intercept and do find out, I mean, for me, in my mind, it's just an impossible game. You will be doing this forever, Shafiq.
Yes.
and you will still not get all of them, right? So we'll come back and have that discussion up next. If you would like to speak to either one of our Ministry of Health experts, they're in the studio to talk about an abortion drug called misoprostol, which is not available in Malaysia, but people seem to be getting it online, and it does, you know, have a lot of risks tied to it when you administer this drug on your own. Ministry of Health is rather concerned about the development and the distribution of this illegal drug. If you have a question, give us a call. The number is 7732900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
Backs, forwards, midfielders, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living. I'm Mira Sivasodi. I'm joined by Dr. Sakina Sulung, consultant family medicine physician from the Johor Bahru District Health Office, Ministry of Health Malaysia, as well as Muhammad Shafiq Muhammad Zain, principal assistant director from the Pharmacy Enforcement Division, Forensic Pharmacy, Pharmaceutical Services Program, Ministry of Health. We're discussing misoprostol, which is a drug for illegal abortions. It's being sold online. It's a, you know, as Dr. Sakina explained earlier, you can either do a medication thing to abort a child, or you can actually do via surgery. Am I correct? And this seems to be a safer or easier option, shall I say, for those especially in the early stages of 9 weeks and below of pregnancy. You know, Dr. Sakina, when you've spoken about the need for better understanding when it comes to contraceptives and all of that, and perhaps this may not be a problem. Where do you see a way forward in this? I mean, it's an effective drug. Obviously, a lot of people are using it around the world. You are concerned about the fact that people administer it on their own without proper medical practitioners guiding you or keeping an eye on you. But, you know, if it is, do you think we should bring it back, for an example, and legalize it?
Okay, even with the when it is used under supervision, also 1 in 100 ladies who are using misoprostol will end up bleeding, and they need. And in one study, showed that about 50% of them actually who use misoprostol end up having surgery. So at the end of the day, you are talking about extra cost, and actually it doesn't serve. Looks like it doesn't serve any extra benefit, except that it may give the woman, like you said, feel more empowered that they can use it at home. Even so, it is with such a huge risk, because when we are talking about bleeding from vagina, it can cause a postpartum hemorrhage. You can end up losing so much blood. And in postpartum hemorrhage, we are talking about 1 liter of blood loss per minute. Is so huge amount, so women can end up that. I have few cases. I mean, when a woman died in her house trying to abort the baby and end up bleeding
with misoprostol,
we are not that sure, because she has been doing it, I mean, without telling anybody.
So that's what I'm also saying. And misoprostol aside, we have a whole load of traditional sort of concoctions which can, you know, help with aborting babies. So, and we don't really have much control over that either, right?
But misoprostol, it works. You see, it works. So that's why, and it is easily available nowadays. That's why in some of the cases we suspect it is caused by misoprostol. It's only that we cannot prove it, because it is purchased online. And when it happened, nobody, I mean, the family members said they don't know anything about it.
Yep.
But the tragedy had occurred. The woman already died, So when you use it under supervision, also one in 100 lady will end up
bleeding. That's quite a large number.
Yes, that's why I think the side effect of it, which actually scared us off.
Okay. Shafiq, what's the strategy by the Ministry of Health to go out there and get more people? I don't know how you're going to do it, but because online is MCMC's biggest nightmare. You can't keep track of who these people are.
So in general, currently, to curb not only the sale of misoprostol pills, but any illegal pharmaceutical products, MOH is continuously conducts enforcement activities such as inspections on premises selling and handling pharmaceutical products such as pharmacy shop, private medical clinics, drug stores, herbal shops, as well as product screening at the country entry point. Besides that, in regards to online sale, MOH is also actively conducting monitoring of websites, social media, Facebook, Instagram, and any other digital platforms that advertise and sell any health product, including pills containing misoprostol.
We have a question. We have somebody on the line. Somebody sounds very important. Dato Dr. Raj Karim. He's the former Director General of LPPKN and former Director of the International Planned Parenthood Federation, Southeast Asia and Oceania. You know, cannot ask for a better person to actually call to give his comments. Dato Dr. Raj, you're on the line. Are you there?
Can you hear me? Yes.
Yes, go
can
ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I have been listening a very interesting conversation between on this issue. I think this is a very hot issue and a very much debated one and a very controversial one. But it's also a huge public health problem and one that needs to be addressed. So when Dr. Sakina says there's unmet need for contraception, it is true. There is unmet need for contraception, especially amongst the teenagers and those that are not married. And the Ministry of Health policy itself, which does not allow unmarried girls or couples to use contraception. Yeah, so because our family planning program is basically for married couples. So that itself is an unmet need in the whole system itself.
Okay.
And for the children to come forward to ask for contraception, where do they go to? You know, except they can go to their friends or go to the pharmacy or whatever. So that is how they end up with pregnancy. And of course, the best thing to say is don't have sex and don't get pregnant and everything will be beautiful and rosy. But that's not the reality of life today. Girls are initiating sex much earlier, even boys, and there's unintended or unwanted pregnancies happening. That's where we get the girls into abortion, into abandoning their babies, etc.
Yeah. When did you actually get out of the service, Dr. Raj? This is the Lembaga Penduduk and Pembangunan Keluarga Negara.
I got out of the service at 2000, at the year 2000. Mm-hmm. And at 2000, I went into International Planned Parenthood Federation, and I was the regional director of the region. At that time, in the 2000, we had started misoprostol as a means of medical abortion. So in IPPF, we worked with Genuity Health, which is the first NGO in US to actually work on clinical trials with misoprostol and mifepristone. We used the combination of one, you know, and we did clinical trials with this Genuity Health and with other organizations, and we have been doing this work for 10 years that I was there. We did the work in Indonesia, in Cambodia, and in Vietnam for this region.
Okay, so your stand in this is that misoprostol is a possible option?
It is a possible option because if you look at what you have for abortion today, yeah, the therapeutic aspect of abortion, you have surgical and you have medical. And if you look at it, surgical has been used forever, the DNC method of surgical abortion, which requires a good and safe environment, a good a person who is skilled with necessary instruments, etc. But medical abortion offers another option. you know, but it is important, as Dr. Sakina says, that you must come in early, you must be screened, and you must be screened by the health personnel and to take under health supervision. Because in all our clinics that we worked in, we had health supervision. So we didn't really use the home-based method, you know, because the drugs were just coming on and we wanted to look for side effects, etc. But for those that were under medical supervision, we didn't have any problems.
Okay, while you're on the line, I'm going to actually pick your brain even more, Dr. Raj, because I'm very, very interested. You have said abortion. You have mentioned misoprostol for abortions. So in your opinion, abortions are illegal in Malaysia under Section 312, am I correct? Under 312 and 316 of the Penal Code. Is that law all-encompassing? And when you say abortion, what are you referring to? Under what circumstance?
Of course, abortion is illegal in this country, right?
Yes.
We all know that, except under certain conditions, which you have mentioned earlier yourself. If the pregnancy endangers the life of the mother and causes physical or mental injury, etc. It is true. Abortion is illegal, but it happens. You know?
Yes.
It happens. And if you look at it from the public health point of view, which is better? Is it better to offer a safer option, or do you let the girl go on with an unintended or unwanted pregnancy and she goes to the back streets and she goes for illegal or unsafe abortions and she ends up in death, you know? Or in severe complications, postpartum hemorrhage, whatever other complications that you have. And that's a big issue. So if you look at it from public health point of view, what do you want to do? Do you want to save life of a girl, or do you want to allow her to carry on with the pregnancy and end up with complications, especially if she's young?
Did you get pushback? Did you get pushback for taking on this point of view?
No. Me? Are you talking about me?
Yeah, no, just in the LPPKN and, you know, after that in the International Planned Parenthood Federation. Abortions are very sensitive issues in terms of religion and all of that. Did you get pushback?
True. Yeah. No, in the countries that I worked in, we didn't get pushback because we talked to our stakeholders first and we presented it in the public health perspective, you know, to save the life of a mother, of a girl. In this case, she's not yet a mother, to save the life of a child. And if you look at WHO and UNFPA documents, etc., all of us work on the public health perspective. I tell you, when I sat down in Cairo, when we were first working on this issue, and this is, 25 years now, you know, that abortion was not even being spoken of by so many countries. But with a public health perspective, more and more countries are now using safer methods and many Muslim countries have also legalized abortion, if you know. Not many, but some have.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you...
Indonesia is a large Muslim population, but we didn't have any problem.
Okay.
Bangladesh.
Right.
And if you remember, even Bangladesh allowed menstrual regulation.
Right. How did you get
much
the buy-in?
Can
I ask you, how did you get the buy-in?
We talked to the religious leaders. We talked to the community groups. We talked to families. We talked to community influencers. You know, those whoever was important to us to get our programs through, we talk to them. It's the same story of AIDS. You know, in the beginning, when you want to talk about AIDS and get people to come for treatment, it was so difficult.
Okay, fantastic.
But after a while, when you talk to them and you present your case from the perspective of health of the mother or of the girl, then... you know, nobody says no. Even the religious authorities in Indonesia and Bangladesh have accepted it.
Okay, so you are for legalizing abortions?
I'm not. I'm for introducing medical abortion as an option.
Fantastic. Thank you so very much for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Dr. Raj Karim, the former DG of the National Population and Family Development Board and now current serving at the International Planned Parenthood Federation on her comments regarding misoprostol as a medical option for abortions. We'll come back. We have some of your questions here with us. We'll come back and answer some of them from Kelvin as well as from Chan, who has a question on for both our guests today. And if you want to get involved in the conversation, give us a call. The number is 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brilliant Financial Mentors, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living. If you've just joined us, we're having an interesting discussion about a drug called misoprostol for illegal abortions that's being sold online. And Malaysians seem to be getting their hands on it. There are risk factors involved in using this drug for early stage pregnancies. It was made illegal in Malaysia in 2016. Am I correct, Shafiq? And it's been illegal in Malaysia from 2016.
Yeah, since November 2016.
2016, yep. Yes. And so, you know, what happens? We all go online to try and get these drugs because they seem to do the job. So as Dr. Sakina has spoken about, there are two types of abortions, surgical or the medical option. This is the medical option rather than which seems to be something that, you know, ladies seem to be interested in, and you're concerned about that. So if you have a question for them, the number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got a question here from Kelvin. Why not educate people on using the morning after pill? What do you think, Dr. Sakina?
Yeah, I think that would be a better option, actually, because it is safer, and actually it can be used by many other women out there. It's easier to get. It is sold in the pharmacy.
And it's legal?
Yes, it's legal, mm-hmm. and it's safer. And it's easy to use. So why don't people use it? But the thing is, the people in Malaysia, I notice, we are a bit conventional when talking about contraceptive. We said, this contraceptive will cause you to become fat. This pill will cause you some cancer. Some myth ongoing. So prevent people from taking it. But they don't realize that by denying themselves from using those contraceptive methods, which is easily available, they are putting themselves at risk for embarking into unintended, unwanted pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. And then the need to go online and find some of these solutions. Shafiq, why is it, there's a question from Chan who's asking, why is it it's prohibited in Malaysia when, you know, it had its applications for treating gastric issues, ulcers and stuff like that? So are we not depriving people of those treatment options by sort of banning it, or is this Dr. Sakina's area?
Misoprostol was originally developed, actually, like what Dr. Sakina said, to treat severe duodenal ulcer and stomach ulcer. But misoprostol is one of the first generation of drug. So nowadays, there is a lot of alternative to treat those diseases. So that's why the company has voluntarily withdrawn the registration with the...
They had no issues with
it. Yeah. And the drug during those days, the drug is a controlled substance, which categorized under Group B poison, which can only be supplied by a medical registered medical practitioner or by a licensed pharmacist possessing a valid prescription only from a registered medical practitioner.
Okay. Dr. Sakina, everywhere I read, misoprostol is taken together with mifepristone. Yes. So are these ladies then, is this abortion not complete if you don't take mifepristone together with misoprostol?
If you take both in combination, it works better. So the effectiveness can go up to 90%. But if you use misoprostol alone, it's about 60%, like that. So that's why most of the time, I mean, in USA, they sold it as combination. When you have to first take the misoprostol first, then about 2 days later, then you need to take misoprostol. But in our country, when the medication, the drug is sold online, it is not necessarily so. Sometimes the misoprostol is sold alone or as combo. Depends on the how the purchaser wants to have it.
Because is mifepristone available in Malaysia?
It is not available legally, but with these people, they bring it in illegally. I mean, like recently when our DG Datuk Hisham Abdullah make a statement that we had seized 63,000 worth of misoprostol pills from India. So it shows that this is a lucrative business. So the people will bring it in. If you regularize it, also they will still bring it in.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to add.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
The
because
point here is the demand.
Yes. It's not only the demand, I think, Shafiq. I think because
and it's affordable. It's not very expensive, is it?
It costs you about 350 to 400.
Yes.
And even up to 600 if you use it in combo. But the thing is, why I said that people still use buy it illegally, even though if we happen to allow it to be bring in our country, is because people sometimes they don't want to come forward to the clinic to own up that they are pregnant. This pregnancy is unwanted and they want to hide it. So they rather doing it in illegal way. So I'm quite skeptical that if we bring it in, we're still having these pills sold online.
Did we have a problem before 2016? How big a problem was it before that?
Before that, actually, I'm not sure. I don't think it is an issue.
I think it's still there.
It's still there.
But the thing is, nowadays, the pregnancy rate, I mean, the among teenagers is rising much, much higher compared to a few years back. And the online businesses actually has mushrooming. Like you said, today we close one account, tomorrow they will open another account.
Yep.
And they're actually smarter than us. So, yeah. Frankly speaking, they are smart people.
They're like viruses mutating.
Yes.
They have a life of their own.
And they see the easy money out of it.
Of course, it's lucrative. When something is illegal, then it all just goes under, isn't it? What's your advice, Shafiq, to those, for some of us who know that there is a suspicious sale of such drugs or there's the misuse of it? Is there a hotline? Do we call somebody? You know, how do we do this?
Okay, let me reiterate the most important points. We are discussing about the how to legalize the misoprostol pill or abortion. But for now, Cetotec pills or misoprostol pills are not registered with the DCA. Hence, the possessing, selling and even consuming of the pill are prohibited and unlawful. So, yeah, in this regard, if pregnant women have problems with their babies in the womb, they are advised to see a registered medical practitioner.
Consuming is also illegal. Then how am I going to tell you, Dr. Sakina, that I've taken it? If it's
consuming means you are in possession of the drug, isn't it?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, you know, the people come forward. Yes. They don't want to tell you they've taken misoprostol because it's illegal. Okay? That's also another deterrent that you will not know whether they've taken it or not. Go ahead. Sorry, Shafiq.
Okay. In regards to hotline, okay. Actually, we have our official online complaint platform. So public can go through to moh.spab.gov.my. Or if you have any information in regards to this matter, or even you want to ask question in regards to illegal pharmaceutical activities, you can submit your inquiries through the link.
Okay, fantastic. Dr. Sakina, for those women who, your advice to them, those who want to consider an abortion, where do they best get this information and advice from? And knowing that there's so much stigma around it, what's your advice?
Actually, To tell you the truth, I've seen more and more cases of single mother coming to my clinic, in health clinic. So to say that we have stigma, I think it's not really true. We are now seeing more and more people owning up to the pregnancy. And for those people who got pregnant, going into this unwanted pregnancy, I asked them to come forward, to see a doctor, not necessarily a doctor in health clinic, in government health clinic. Go and see the doctor, checked.
A GP will do.
Yes, mm-hmm. A GP will do the job also. So let the doctor see you and assess you and give you some advice about it. Because there are women out there whom I saw before who want to abort. Then afterwards, they change their mind. There are cases like that. Yeah. And Cytotex, I know. Cytotex, it works. It works. That's why it becomes so popular. Mm-hmm. But that it's not without risk. And when you are taking risks against your lives, you must consider, is it worth to die because of this procedure? And then, actually, I want to let everyone know that actually our KKM, I think a few years back, we are looking into the what we call as SOP into the the tata cara or the guideline how to handle mothers who are asking for abortion in health clinic. We got flow is already planned, things like that. But it's quite controversial. You know, any medical practitioner who is certified, they can perform the surgical abortion. If he, after assessing the mother, that thinking with his good faith that the mother might suffer in physical, her physical health might suffer or her mental health might suffer, with the pregnancy, he can perform the abortion. That is permissible by law. But then, not many of the medical practitioners are eager or keen to do that.
Yeah.
That's the hindrance. The law is there.
It's our values and belief system, isn't it?
Yes.
That gets in our way.
And it's still a long way to go. So it's not as easy as you say, legalize it so that we stop the people from buying. It's not as that. Because, you see, Viagra, we got the Viagra, by prescription, you can have Viagra. But it's still sold online. People still buy it. Why?
That's because men don't want to admit they have erectile dysfunction. Yeah.
Same like this. Maybe the girl doesn't want to admit that she's pregnant with somebody's kid.
It goes back to stigma and taboo.
Yes, and it's very difficult to change that.
Of course. So it's education all round that's needed, really, is what I'm hearing. The writing on the wall is sex education. My goodness, we need it badly.
Yes, I would agree to that.
And talk about contraception as much as you can send me hate mail. That's all right. Talk about it. Contraception, people, much better than having to deal with things after.
Yes, okay. I agree.
So educational program to increase public awareness is... Or this method need to be conducted extensively.
Yeah. So, look at it before, don't get pregnant yet, and have to deal with it after. And you know what? Health professionals need to get educated as well, don't you think?
Of course. I mean, everybody is not really getting wiser nowadays, right? Common sense is not so common.
It's not, absolutely. It's a changing world. Open up your minds, There's so much to deal with. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
For joining us today. Shafiq, you want to add on?
One more thing, a bit of promo actually. In conjunction with the World Pharmacist Day 2018, there will be a celebration at My Town Shopping Center KL on 20th and 21st October, this Saturday and Sunday. And this event will be officiated by our Honourable Health Minister, YB Datuk Seri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad. Mm-hmm. And there will be many exciting activities, interesting booths and talks over the weekend. So people, please take the opportunity to meet up with the Malaysian pharmacy.
Is there going to be a discussion on misoprostol as well?
You can ask anything about drug. You can ask anything about their there are a few agencies will be there, NGOs also, as well as...
LPPKN will be good to have at the booth, because I'm sure people have questions for them. Thank you both very much for joining us today. Dr. Sakina Sulong, consultant, family medicine physician from the Johor Bahru District Health Office, Ministry of Health, and Muhammad Shafiq Muhammad Zain, principal assistant director of the Pharmacy Enforcement Division, Pharmaceutical Services Program from the Ministry of Health, speaking to us about Misoprostol on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.